from Chiba University in Japan. First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers for giving me such an opportunity. Thank you very much. And today I'd like to talk about classification results of group actions on C-star algebras, especially these square actions on UHF algebras. And this is joint work with Takeshi Katsura. Okay, first, I'd like to state my main result. And in order to do that, we need some notation and terminology. Okay. So let alpha be a group action of a countable discrete group on some C-star algebra. And the family of unitaries indexed by G is called an alpha cocycle if we have such an one cocycle relation. And this notion already appeared in the talk of Izumi. And if we have such a cocycle, we can perturb the action. If U is a cocycle, then F U alpha is again an action of G. Okay. And the two actions, alpha and beta of G, are said to be cocycle conjugate if some perturbation of alpha is conjugate to beta. So our aim is to classify a certain class of G square actions from UHF algebras up to this cocycle conjugacy. And next, I need the notion of uniform outers. this definition is due to Kishimoto. An automorphism alpha is said to be uniformly outer if for any A and for any non-zero projection P, we can find a partition of P by projections such that PI, A, alpha PI is small. So for example, for simplicity, let's state A is 1. So this condition says PI is almost orthogonal to alpha of PI. So very roughly speaking, this condition says alpha mixes everything inside P. So that's strong outers. And in this definition, I keep in mind the case A is AF or AT. So at least, of real rank 0. And later, we do not need this precise definition. So we do not need to remember this. But we must understand why such a notion is necessary. Let's look at the following remark. So if alpha is uniformly outer, then for any alpha invariant tracer state, the extension alpha bar on the weak project with respect to the trace file is outer in the sense of Fonoyman algebras. And to classify group actions, I need the Loughran property. So to deduce that property, I need some strong outerness. And the usual outerness is not enough for my purpose. So it's easy to find the outer automorphism on the UHF algebra such that the extension is not outer in its weak closure. So I need this stronger version of outerness.
This is only for traceful states?
Right. And if A is purely infinite and simple, we do not need this notion. This is also Kishimoto's result. And the case of purely infinite simple C-star algebras was already discussed in the talk of Izumi. So here I'd like to restrict our attention to stably finite case. Okay, then I can state my main theorem. So a group action is said to be uniformly outer if alpha G is uniformly outer as a single automorphism for any d, and but for the, of course, except for the neutral element. In this case, we say alpha is uniformly altered as a group action. Then our main theorem is, this is with Katsura. So let A be a UHF algebra, and we consider two uniformly altered Z square actions, alpha and beta. Then they are cocycle conjugate if and only if the bracket of alpha is equal to the bracket of beta, and where I have not yet explained what the bracket means. Okay? Oh, yeah. Right. I will explain it in a precise way later. So please let me say this invariant is some k-theoretical data, and it's computable. Okay? So this theorem says if they have the same k-theoretical data, then they are cocycle conjugate. And as its immediate corollary, I get this. If A is of infinite type, that is, A is isomorphic to A tensor A, so for example, of type 2 infinity, or 3 infinity, or maybe the universal UHF algebra, then we have unique cocycle conjugacy props. This is because the range of this invariant is just a singleton in this case. So as a corollary, we have this. Okay, then in the rest of my talk, I'd like to explain its proof. But before doing that, I'd like to mention some history of classification of group actions on operator algebras. And it, of course, it goes back to Horn's work. So she classified single automorphisms on the hyperfinite 2-1 factor. And then it was extended by Jones to the case of finite group actions. And finally, Okuneanu gave this statement. So if we have two outer actions of an amenable group, of course, discrete amenable group G, then has a finite 2-1 factor, then they are cocycle conjugate. So everything is cocycle conjugate to each other. And in the setting of C-star algebras, Harman and Okuneanu introduced the Rockerin property for single automorphisms on AF algebras and discussed stability. The stability is some property of automorphisms or actions. And this property plays a very important role in the classification of group actions. And stability is sometimes called one cocycle property or one cohomology vanishing. And I will explain this property later. And I'd like to mention this result, which is already mentioned in the talk of Katsura. This is due to Bradbury, Kishimoto, Roden, and Sturmer. So they showed the shift on the infinite tensor product of M2 has the Rockerin property in the sense of C-star algebras. So this means such a natural automorphism has the Rockerin property. I think Bradbury and Kishimoto did a lot of things, of course, but among them, this result is particularly important. But I have to apologize because I cannot turn these names red.
is this theorem still necessary for the classification of Hertzberg algebras?
No.
Yeah. I think we...
Maybe the truth, well, depending on the approach that... specifically the truth may be based is... It's not necessary, but in some of the present lines of argument, it's used.
Okay, let me mention one more result. which is also mentioned by Takeshi already, and that it is due to Evans Kishimoto. They introduced some intertwining argument, which is an equivalent version of Elliot's intertwining argument. So Elliot's intertwining argument compares two sister algebras. But this intertwining argument compares two actions. So we assume two actions have the same k-theoretic data. Then from this, we find some co-cycle for alpha, so that the perturbation of alpha is close to beta. And in the next step, we will find another co-cycle for beta, so that the perturbation of beta is much closer to this one. Okay? And each step, we apply this stability. Then finally, we get some conjugacy or co-cycle conjugacy. That's the EK intertwining argument. And in the last part of my talk, I will go to this point. By using this intertwining argument, I will show co-cycle conjugacy. Okay, next, let us recall the classification result for single automorphisms on stably finite sister algebras. This theorem is due to Kishimoto. So let A be a unit of simple AT of real rank 0 with unique tracer state. And suppose alpha is an approximately inner automorphism. Then the following are equivalent. First, alpha has the Rochlin property in the sense of sister algebras. And the second, alpha to n is uniformly outer. And the last condition says it's outer. It is outer on the weak closure. And by using this Rochlin property, Kishimoto classified automorphisms on AT algebra. So let A be a unit of A. Oh, I forgot to put simple, of course. Or maybe simplicity is not necessary. Okay, yeah. Let A be a unit of AT of real rank 0. And suppose alpha and beta have the Rochlin property. And the difference between alpha and beta is asymptotically inner. Then we can conclude they are co-cycle conjugate. So I wish to extend this result. I'd like to show analogous results for these three actions on UHF algebras. So for that purpose, I need the Rochlin property. So let me introduce the Rochlin property for these square actions. So let C1 and C2 be the basis of this square, so 1, 0, and 0, 1. And we let A sub infinity be the quotient of L infinity by the C note of A. And let A sub infinity is the relative commutant of A in A sub infinity. So A sub infinity is called the limit algebra, and A sub infinity is called the central sequence algebra. Then the definition is like this. Alpha has the Rochlin property if for any natural number n, we can find finitely many elements in n square and the family of projections E indexed by R and G, where R is from 1 to R and G is an element in this group. G square modulo MR G square. So that's a direct sum of two cyclic groups. Okay? So let me say, geometrically, this group is something like a rectangle, right? And these guys are satisfying this condition. First, MR is not less than M. I mean by this, that each coordinate of MR is not less than M. So the rectangle is quite large. And these projections are the forms, the partitions of unity. Oh, I forgot to mention the important point. These projections are in a sub-infinity. That's an important point, okay? This projection is belonging to the central sequence algebra. And the action alpha is acting on these projections secretly. So by secretly, I mean in the horizontal way and in the vertical way. Okay? So this is the definition of the Rolle-Polynes property for these square actions, which is by Nakamura. And Nakamura showed this theorem. So let A be a UHF, then for this square action alpha, these two conditions are equivalent. First, alpha has the Rolle-Polynes property. Second, alpha is uniformly out. So this is a Rolle-Polynes type theorem, and this is already obtained by Nakamura. And by using the Rolle-Polynes property, he obtained some classification result. So here he classified a certain class of actions. So let A be a UHF of infinite type. Then any two uniformly outer D square actions of product type are cocyclic conjugate to each other. But, yeah, this assumption is quite restrictive. So I'd like to show more general result. I'd like to say something for general actions of G-square, not of product type, okay? Okay. Next. I'd like to talk about the stability. That's an important property to classify group actions. Okay. What is the stability? Okay. So I'm telling you the rough idea, so please do not be precise. Okay. We would like to compare two actions, alpha and beta, of a discrete group G. And suppose, fortunately, we find some alpha cocycle UG in A sub infinity such that beta A is equal to F U alpha A for any A in A. So this means, I assume, fortunately, I can find a cocycle which perturbs alpha to beta on A. So to this situation, the stability of alpha applies.
Is this equation meant to hold in A infinity?
Yes, A is embedded in A super infinity. Then, if we have the stability of alpha, then we can find another single unitary B in A super infinity such that UG is equal to B alpha G B star. That's a stability, or one cohomology vanish in A super infinity.
Is that the definition?
Yep. And if we have these two equations, it's easy to get this. Beta G of A is equal to at B, alpha G, at B star on A. And this looks like some conjugacy between beta and alpha. But of course, this B is from A super infinity, so we cannot get anything from this directly. But by using some intertwining argument and something like that, we may have a chance to show alpha and beta are conjugate or cocyclic conjugate. Okay, that's the stability. Okay, then I'd like to recall the stability for single automorphisms. Okay, so automorphism alpha with the Loughran property is given, and some unitary U is given. And I wish to show the stability by using the Loughran property. So we wish to find another unitary B such that this guy is very small. And the solution is well known in the setting of von Neumann algebra. This is given by this. In the setting of von Neumann algebra, the solution is, for example, like this. B is UKEK, where EK are the Loughran projections for alpha. And for simplicity, I assume we have a single tower. Okay. And so alpha is acting on these projections by shift. And UK is determined by this condition inductively. So UK is a co-cycle for the Z action alpha. And we did not have any problem about this definition, about this construction in the setting of von Neumann algebras. But we do have some problem on E0. Because in the setting of von Neumann algebra, the trace value of E0 is very small because n is very large. So we can ignore it simply. But in the setting of sister algebra, we cannot ignore it. So in C-star algebra setting, we need some adjustment term here. We have to insert something. And such an adjustment term may be given like this. So we find another family of unitaries, WK, and it inserts such a thing here, so that the resulting unitary B meets the requirement. And in order to obtain the stability, what is the necessary, what is the condition for these unitaries? That's an easy computation, and the answer is like this. These unitaries are, these unitaries must satisfy these conditions. First, WK is close to WK minus 1. So we have some finitely many elements, finitely many unitaries, and each unitary is close to the next one. And this says, at one height, but at one end point, W0 is close to UN, and UN is from co-cycles. And on the other end point, WN minus H, WN minus 1 must be close to 1. And clearly, such a family of unitaries can be obtained by a path from UN to 1, right? So if we can find such a path, then we can divide this path at any point. But the important point is we have to control the length of this path. N is the height of the Loughran tower, and it was fixed at first. And if, for example, the length of this path is 2 pi or 3 pi, then the difference between these two guys are is less than 2 pi over n or something like this. So we are happy. So that here, it's important to control the length of this path. Or in other words, the least continuity of this continuous map from 0-1 interval to the unitaries. Okay. Then I'd like to extend this argument to the two-dimensional setting. So we are given the action alpha, g square, and with the Loughran property, and we are given alpha cocycle un. And I'd like to show the stability. my guess is like this. So let Eij be reference projections. Again, here, I assume we have a single reference tower for simplicity, okay? Then we put the unitary V like this. So V is the sum of Uij something and Eij. So Eij is the reference projection. And on these projections, alpha is acting on like a two-dimensional shift, okay? And Uij is coming from this cocycle. And I ask myself, what do I need for these unitaries so that this V works? Then again, this is easy computation. In order to obtain UCI is close to V alpha CI V square. So this is the stability for these three actions. We need these conditions. Okay, let's see. The first two inequalities said each unitary must be close to the next one. By next, I mean I plus 1 J and I J plus 1. Okay? So Wij is something like two-dimensional object and each W is close to its neighbor. Okay? And this is a rectangular and I think this is K and this is L. And K and L are both quite large. Okay, then let's see these inequalities. Yeah, let's see this, okay? So the unitaries W0J are around here. And those unitaries WK minus 1 J are around here. And these two families of unitaries have some relationship. That relationship is given by the transformation UK0 alpha K0 dot. Okay? So we have some relationship. And we can say the same thing for this edge and that edge. So this is something like a twisted torus. And this situation can be illustrated geometrically in the following way. So to simplify notation, we denote these guys by alpha 1, alpha 2, u1, u2. Then we have this one called cycle relation. And I want to find such unitaries wij. And in order to do that, I want to construct a continuous map from the square to the unit. And this continuous map satisfies the boundary condition. And the boundary condition is given by like this. So these two edges have the relationship described by this transformation. Okay? And we can say the same thing for these two edges. Okay, how can I do that?
Can you go back one slide again, please?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, first, I put 1 here. Okay, I'd like to construct a continuous map from this square to the unitary. And I put 1 here. That's a normalization. Then, because of this boundary condition, I must put U1 and U2 on these two vertices. Okay? Then I will find a path from 1 to U1 and from 1 to U2. So in order to do that, we have to assume, of course, the K1 cross the K1 properties of U1 and U2 are zero. But I assume everything I need, okay? I assume. And yeah, actually, I'd like to apply this argument to UHF, so that's not a problem, okay? And I also assume the length of this path is, say, 2 pi or something like that. And that's no problem. And then, again, by using this boundary condition, I can take a twisted copy of this edge and that edge. Then we have unitaries on this edge and on that edge. And these two edges meet exactly at this point because of this one whole cycle relation. So the problem is, can we extend unitaries on the boundary of the square to the whole square? Here, we meet some obstruction. Because this is some closed path of unitaries from 1 to 1. So we get some kappa in K1 of suspension A, which is isomorphic to K0. And of course, AF algebra have a non-trivial K0, so we meet some kappa obstruction here. But here, I assume everything I need, okay? So I again assume this kappa vanishes. Then, can we extend these unitaries to the whole square? But I have to keep the Lisp continuity. So this is the key technical part of this result. And we can give an answer in the case of UHF. This is the answer. Homotopy lemma. So for any C and epsilon, we can find another constant, C prime, such that suppose U is the path of unitary in NN, and it's a closed path of unitaries, and we have some Lisp continuity for this, and I assume the kappa is zero, so it has trivial K graphs. Then I can find a path of self-adjoint element A, satisfying the following. So first, A is almost the logarithm of U. And second, A is a closed path of self-adjoint elements. And the Lisp continuity is controlled. And once we get this lemma, it's easy to make the unitaries on the boundary shrink, because we can do that in a linear fashion. Okay? We took the logarithm of the unitaries on the boundary. And we have to notice that this C prime does not depend on N. N is the size of matrix. So it's easy to extend this result for AF algebras. We can easily replace MN with AF, in particular UHF. So this is some key technical part of this result, and the proof uses perturbation result of almost commuting unitaries. Okay, then we get the stability of G square actions on UHF algebra. Then please let me go to the invariant. So let A be a UHF. And for each prime number p, we put zeta of p is a supremum of k, such that the order unit is divisible by pk. So zeta p means how many times the order unit is divisible by p. And I'd like to define the invariant, the Bragg alpha, as the element in this group. Direct sum of cyclic group of order p to zeta p. But here, p is in the capital P of A. The capital P of A is the set of p, such that the zeta p is not zero, but finite. Okay? So if A is of infinite type, then this P of A is empty. So the range of this invariant is just a singleton. So we have a unique cycle conjugation graph. Okay, how can I define the bracket? So let alpha and the basis be two z square actions and take P from the capital P of A. And let A0 be a unitary subalgebra, which is isomorphic to the matrix algebra with size P to zeta P. And we take another sufficiently large subalgebra A1 and unitary U1 and U2 such that the following holds. So beta I is equal to add ui alpha I on A1. Since A1 is finite dimensional, we can do that. But we have chosen these unitaries independently. We cannot expect these unitaries give a cocycle. So if we put x like this, we cannot expect x is close to 1. So this x contains some obstruction, which is called the kappa. This x contains some data. Okay? And but because of this equality, we may assume this x, the unitary x, almost commutes with A0. Okay? And then I take a path of unitaries h from 1 to x, which is almost contained in the relative commutant. And we may assume h is piecewise smooth. Then I compute this guy. Okay? So where tau is the unique spatial space. Then what can I say? We have a Dirac-Hopkins determinant, which is a homomorphism from unitaries to the real numbers modulo k0. So I can say, and x is like this. So u1 and u1 star cancel out, and u2 and u2 star cancel out. So this is 0. So we have this value delta belongs to k0. So where I identify K0 with its image in the real numbers. Next, if we take another path, K, from 1 to X, then by connecting H and K, we obtain a closed path, which is almost contained in the relative commutant. So this means this delta has some ambiguity. But this ambiguity is contained in K0 of this relative commutant. So, what is the quotient of K0 by its relative commutant? It's a cyclic group. So, we can define the bracket beta alpha at P be this value modulo K0 of the relative commutant. In such a way, we obtain an element in a cyclic group. So we get the bracket beta alpha be the collection of all the bracket beta alpha at P. Then, in this setting, we can prove this value does not depend on the choice of A0, A1, and the unitaries U1 and U2, and the path H. So this element depends only on base, alpha, and p. And moreover, we have such an addition, additivity. So gamma alpha is equal to gamma beta plus beta alpha. Then I define my bracket alpha as bracket alpha identity. So our main theorem claims this is a complete invariant for cocycle conjugation. Okay, let me skip the example. Okay, finally I'd like to explain the intertwining argument. So let A be a UHF and we are given two uniformly altered axons. And we assume they have the same characteristic data. Then by using EK intertwining argument, we want to show co-cycle conjugacy. Okay? So in order to do that, I choose at first an increasing family of finite subsets Fn of A, whose union is dense, and let delta n be a decreasing sequence of positive real numbers converging to zero. Then I will construct G square actions, a sequence of G square actions like this, and co-cycles like this, and unitaries. First, put alpha 0 is alpha and beta 1 is beta. Then at first, we find some alpha 0 co-cycle U0 such that the perturbation of alpha by this U is close to beta in this case for any x in F1 and up to delta 1. And let alpha 2 be the perturbed action of alpha and by the co-cycle U. That's the first step. Next, we can find another beta 1 co-cycle U1 such that the perturbation of beta 1 by this co-cycle is close to alpha 2 in this. And let beta 3 be the perturbed action of beta 1 by this co-cycle. And we have to notice that this co-cycle has some centrality, okay? Because as U1 beta 1 is close to alpha 2, and alpha 2 is equal to this guy, and this is close to beta 1. So as U1 beta 1 is close to beta 1, this means the co-cycle U1, the commutator of this co-cycle U1 and some finitely many elements is small. So this co-cycle has some centrality. And we repeat this argument. Okay? And in such a way, we obtain a sequence of co-cycles. And we get some very close to these square actions. And in need is that I apply the stability. I apply the stability to these co-cycles and get a sequence of unitary VK like this. Okay, so I think this is for odd K and this is for even K. Okay. Then, centrality of this co-cycle implies the centrality of the unitary VK. Before that, we can make this limit exist because these unitaries have some centrality. So we need some delicate argument, but we can do that. And we obtain two automorphisms. Then we are happy. So consequently, we obtain this equality, and this says beta and alpha are co-cycle conjugate. Okay, finally, please let me give some remarks. So we have another notion of equivalence, that outer conjugacy. Outer conjugacy is a notion which is weaker than co-cycle conjugacy. And we can prove this statement too. Two uniformly G square actions, two uniformly outer G square actions, alpha and beta, are co-cycle conjugate if and only our invariant for alpha is equal to the invariant of beta for all but finitely many P in P of A. And the next remark says, by using a similar idea, a similar technique, we can prove the same thing for O2. But in this case, we can do that for any N. So because O2 has, of course, trivial K theory, so it's easy to handle. And yeah, it's very close to von Neumann algebras, so we can do the same technique. Okay, let me conclude this talk by this problem. Let A be a UHF. Then this problem says, can we classify B and actions on A, where A is of infinite type? And I think this algebra has unique co-cycle conjugacy class for Zn action. But this is open. Okay, I stop here. Thank you.
Any questions?
Can you go back to the homopopulin?
Yes.
So this relates to partially
I don't think so. This may be some. Yeah, I don't think so. No. I think that lemma is for almost two commuting unitaries.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think this lemma is a little bit different from that.
Can you go back one more slide?
Which one?
Yeah. How do you take care of, explain briefly, how you arrange to make sure the tablet is zero in the particular situation you're dealing with?
That's a tough question. So, yeah, if the EK theoretical invariant are equal, then, yeah, I can pop up U1 by some unitary, another unitary, and obtain kappa is zero. Yeah, that's due to some perturbation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's also the main attraction to get from U squared to U to
VF? Yeah.
Which part of it?
Yeah, it's much more complicated. So you.
Which part is, we're getting the general theorem for U to VF, which is.
That's the several part.
Several
part. But for example, here, you have to consider some twisted N torus, right?
Yes.
Thank you.